This Week in Radio Tech, episode 225, is brought to you by the Telos Zip 1 Automatic IP Audio Codec. Easy to use, and it's automatic. And by Lavo, maker of the new Crystal Clear Virtual Radio Console. Intuitive, progressive, and focused. Crystal Clear is the radio console with a multi-touch touchscreen interface. And by Axia. Consoles, mixing engines, intercoms, phones, audio processors. Only Axia connects to so much so easily. Hey, meet Bob Page, studio manager at the Radio Broadcast Center at Universal Studios, Florida. Quite possibly the man with the coolest job in radio. Hey, welcome in. It's This Week in Radio Tech. I'm Kirk Harnack, your host. Glad you're here. This is the show where we talk about broadcasting technology, audio, radio tech, anything from the microphone to the bubble at the top of the tower. This is our guest, Bob Page. We're gonna introduce Bob in a second. I want to bring in, first of all, though, typically, maybe not today, the best-dressed engineer in radio, and that's Chris Tobin. Hey, Chris, welcome in.
Thanks, Kirk. Well, you know, when you're on the beach, you're best dressed for a very comfort feeling, so that's what I'm doing today. So I'm also reading my copy of TVB Europe, because you never know when you need to know what's going on around the world. And it's out here on the Jersey Shore. So behind me is not a green screen, as some people might think. This is actually the view of the Atlantic Ocean and a sand dune as I step out of view of the camera.
And, how lovely.
It's been a very nice time. I've been on holiday this week enjoying some downtime. So seagulls and fishing and some fish and things. It's been good.
Awesome. Well, our show is brought to you by This Week in Radio Tech, by the way. It's our 225th episode, and Chris Tobin is on the Jersey Shore, and I'm in Orlando.
In Orlando enjoying himself.
Yeah, I am enjoying, yeah. We're just about to go see the Harry Potter, the new big Harry Potter thing. What is it called? Diagon Alley?
Diagon Alley.
Yeah, Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
I just figured that out a little while ago.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Diagonally. Yeah.
Well, they do have Horizont Alley inside Diagon Alley. For
gosh.
Real.
Oh, my goodness. So, hey, you'll excuse me. I'm coughing with just the very tail end of a cold here. I'll try not to give it to Bob. This is Bob Page. Bob is our guest today. And, Bob, you are the studio engineer?
Sort of. My background is not engineering, but I've been here at the Radio Broadcast Center at Universal Orlando Resort for 18, 19 years. And we're just cranking out broadcasts.
He says he's not an engineer. Could have fooled me.
Officially, my title would be Radio Broadcast Specialist.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to talk about the broadcast studios here at Universal. And mostly Chris Tobin and Bob are going to talk to each other. Also, Jason Mercurio is going to jump in here with us in a few minutes. But first, I want to let you know that our show is brought to you in part by Telos Systems and the Telos Zip 1 IP audio codec. I got to tell you, folks, this thing is really cool. They've got one here at the Universal Radio Studios. I've got like five of them at my office and lab. Yeah, I'm kind of a zip hog. The Zip 1 connects to an internet connection. It can be a public internet. It can be a private WAN. It can be a point-to-point like a T1 or an IP radio link. But the whole idea of the Telos Zip 1 being an IP audio codec, of course, it encodes your audio. It encodes it into a stream, and you can choose from all different codecs that are in there, even no codec at all, just linear PCM audio, if you have the bandwidth to do that. But the key about the Zip 1, it's got a couple of keys. Number one, it's really easy to use because if you send it on remote, when you hook to the internet, it automatically connects to the Telos Zip server. And then you get a list of the friendly names of the studios that you want to call. So if you want to call, your main control room or your, WAXY Studio 5, whatever it may be, you don't have to know IP addresses. You don't have to know port numbers. In fact, in most cases, you don't even have to do port forwarding for the Zip 1 to work. Your operator plugs it in, gets an internet connection, highlights the studio they want to call. You push auto and away you go. It connects. Usually within 10 seconds, you've got a connection between two Zip 1s and high-quality audio in both directions. Some of the codecs in there, if you've got a small bandwidth connection, you can choose one of the most sophisticated codecs ever. It's called AAC-ELD. That's AAC Enhanced Low Delay. top speed that does is 64 kilobits, and it sounds pretty good at 64 kilobits. It's actually pretty amazing. Stereo audio, 20 kilohertz. The folks at Fraunhofer really outdid themselves with AAC ELD, and the LD means low delay, so you can have a quick two-way conversation with that codec as well. But if you want to do MPEG Layer 2 for compatibility with some older devices, or if you want to do full AAC or AAC low delay, those are all built in. So is HEAAC. Those are all built in as well. Something else cool about the Zip 1 is that it auto throttles. In other words, it's always measuring the bandwidth that you have available. It's looking for lost packets and late packets at each receive end, and it will automatically adjust its buffer size. And it'll automatically adjust the send rate of the FAR unit in case your bandwidth, you know, gets bad. It'll keep you on the air at a reduced bit rate. And then when your bandwidth gets available again, it'll speed back up to a higher quality connection. It does all this pretty seamlessly. Occasionally you hear a little glip or a little glitch as it's moving around, finding the right thing. But hey, once it's locked in and stable, it is really a cool device. Folks are using it for their STLs. They're using it for remote broadcast. You have one of the Zip ones here at the Universal Studios. So check it out on the web. If you need to get audio from here to there and you've just got internet or some IP connection to do it, I would encourage you to check out the Zip 1. We use it all the time on our radio stations, and a lot of stations, boy, there's right here in Florida, I know of at least 60 of them right now that are on the air providing audio between radio stations and central studio locations. Yeah, 60 of them right here in Florida. Go to the web, telos-systems.com, and look for the Zip 1, telos-systems.com. All right, Bob, let's get right into the show.
Sure.
So why are these radio studios at Universal? What's the deal?
We built the radio studios about 18 years ago as a promotional tool for the theme parks.
Okay.
Last year, we had 253 different radio stations come through these studios and broadcast live back to wherever home is. And it's all part of a promotion. They go into the market beforehand, and there'll be paid commercials, and it's all – nobody actually spends any money. It's just hands shaking hands, and, you know, we put spots in the market, and then it all comes off, you know, the promotional contest or whatever, and they give away a prize, and they do the live broadcast from here.
Gotcha. So it's fun for the radio station.
Amazing for a radio station.
And, of course, you're buying ads on the station.
Yep.
And then they get to come here. The disc jockeys get to have fun at Universal.
Sure.
And broadcast live.
Yep, that's pretty much the deal. I mean, when a radio station comes down here, you know, they're doing half the work because half of it's still being done back there. So it's like they're on vacation, sounds amazing on the air, and they get to talk about Universal, and we get the promotion out of it.
Now, I got to tell you guys where we are here. We're right across the street from the Terminator, the T2 show.
Yep.
And the new Harry Potter thing is just, a walking distance from here. The Transformers, we just went through that ride earlier today. Bob, I got to tell you, if this Telos thing doesn't work out for me, can I come work for you?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many radio guys are like, you have the best gig ever in radio. And I'm like, yeah, I get to come in and play radio every single day without really being in radio. My format changes three or four times a day sometimes.
Hey, Chris Tobin, when you were engineering with radio stations full time, any of your friends get to come down here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did a couple of Universal Orlando studio setups. They've been cool and very hospitable. And it's been great opportunities every time. The jocks loved it. And as Bob points out, the spots and stuff back in the market we were coming from, the response was really, really nice. I mean, the park folks were great, both in the broadcast facility and throughout the theme park itself.
I guess without a lot of further ado, we ought to at least take a verbally spoken tour of the facilities. Now, I was here years ago, and you had a lot of Harris audio consoles,
correct,
right?
Yep.
Which Harris consoles were those?
We went through two different versions.
Oh.
We had the old BM Harris...
The Pacific.
Pacific recorders.
Yeah. PR&E consoles.
Exactly. PR&E consoles, and then we went to BMX Digitals.
Ah, okay.
And then we just recently upgraded to the Elements, and they are stunning.
Cool.
It's one of the cool things about the theme park is that all the attractions are state-of-the-art and cutting-edge, and we felt like the radio studio had to be the same exact model. So we go out and try to find the absolute state-of-the-art cutting-edge equipment, so when jocks come here, it's like they get to go test drive Ferrari.
Well, I was talking to a lady who was on the air from one of your studios about an hour ago, and I said, so what do you think of this this Axia console? She says, it's just like the one I use at my radio station. I said, well, yep. Great. Cool. Awesome. Now, so you have two studios here. Tell me how they're the same or different. How are they equipped?
They're equipped very similar, and we have the Element consoles, and we run BSI's OpEx automation. And mostly not so much that we're running a full log as a radio station would, but it's touchscreen. It's super cool. We have the hotkeys, you know, so there's tons of drops and elements that the station can play with, because that's what we want them to do when they're here, is just have some fun.
Now, when a station comes in here, typically, aren't they playing the music and commercials back home?
Yeah, almost 90% of the time, everything's played back home or VPNing into their station and controlling it from here.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. So there doesn't necessarily have to be somebody back at the station.
Yeah, just somebody who can turn them on and then walk in 4 hours later and turn them off.
Okay, all right. So that's a pretty common practice, huh?
It happens occasionally, depending on the market and, you know, whatnot. But, yeah, it happens every once in a while.
I mean, as a technology, does remoting it? I mean, I do that all the time. Remote desktop, and does it tend to be speedy enough for people to, you know, hit something and the music plays?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, we haven't had any real complaints. It seems to be fine. So.
Now, if a station wants to bring a full complement of talent in here, you've got multiple mics in these rooms.
Yeah, we've had some, you know, large morning shows where they've taken over both studios and used the studio that we're in now, which will be Transformers. And used it as a newsroom. And had the whole show in there. And then we have an office with a call screener so they could screen the calls in the office.
Oh, I saw that call screener position. Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. Wow. So would a station typically – I'm sorry to get into tech here.
Sure, sure.
Would a station typically forward their call-in numbers down to here, or would they give out new call-in numbers?
We only have one radio station that will forward their calls. It's a local FM talk station. Everybody else just uses our 800 number or 888 number in the other studio. And honestly, I know that we've had a lot of conversations with program directors, and they're like, I don't want to use that number. I don't want to – but the minute they give it out – all nine lines light right up.
Oh wow!
And then the radio, and then the jocks are like, "I only have three lines at home. How do I get nine?"
So. Oh gee. What are some of the other interesting features about the studios? I mean, furniture is gorgeous. Seems like you've had the opportunity to lay these studios out in a sexy, good-looking fashion.
Yeah, I mean, we really just try to make it as user-friendly as possible. And if I were a jock, how would I want my studio laid out? Yeah. So when these studios were designed, that's realistically how it was. When I first started to work here, for instance, in this studio, the console is directly behind us, and your co-host mics are directly on the other side of the console. It was originally built with the console to your right-hand side, and your co-hosts were over your shoulder.
Oh.
So when we rebuilt the studio, I had the opportunity to redesign it, and we just kind of changed some things around and made it user-friendly and comfortable. The other studio's on hydraulics. It goes up and down.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's important. It makes you sound better.
Now you bring something up that's pretty interesting. Hydraulics.
Sure.
Now, my wife and son and I this morning just rode the Transformers ride.
Yes.
And, oh, my goodness, there's some hydraulics involved.
Absolutely. Elevators,
yeah. Yeah. So you have engineers here who understand moving big stuff around.
Sure.
What resources are available to you through the engineers here at Universal? Or artists, graphics?
Yeah, most of that stuff would be as far as creative and building elements that really have nothing to do with the broadcast. It's just look good stuff.
Mm.
So not as much as you would think.
Now, when I came in today, you said, Kirk, I'm sorry, we don't have our usual decorations up.
No, we do right in
the
middle.
You used to have a Terminator head coming down. Was it in here or the other room?
It would have been in the other studio, yeah. We had a big T-1000 melting out of the ceiling.
Oh, jeez, it was crazy looking.
Yeah, and this studio had a huge, giant shark in it, and it was, you know, racing
Uh-oh. Sounds like we've got a bandwidth issue for Kirk and Bob Page in Orlando Studios. So you're watching This Week Radio Tech. You're listening to This Week in Radio Tech, episode 225. I'm Chris Tobin, co-hosting with Kirk Harnack, with Bob Page, our special guest, who's right now in Orlando at Universal Studios talking about their hydraulic control stages and the T2 special effects and a few other things you can enjoy when you're down there as a broadcast station, promoting the theme park as well as putting your show on the road, which is something that's very popular and people enjoy. And you can participate. So I'm on the road today as well. So what's behind me is the New Jersey Shore. For those of you who are familiar with that, this is not the TV show New Jersey Shore. This is just the New Jersey Shore. All natural in its splendor. And the vista is just what you see, a nice blue sky, and the comfortable temperature is around 82 degrees. And the dew point, which makes it more comfortable, is about 67%, so it's really nice. So while we try to reconnect with Kirk and the boys, let's talk about IP technologies for remotes. Since remoting is something we've been doing and looking to do this fall, a lot of folks enjoy the fact that they can now take advantage of IP. How do you take advantage of IP? Well, one example would be a zip codec. Another example could be using a T1 or better yet, a cable mobile. Excellent. So, these are things you consider. We'll talk more about it later on. But let's go back to Kirk and Bob in Orlando.
And Chris Tobin, the king of vamping. Thank you, sir. I don't know what happened to the video. I don't know. Oh, well. So we were chatting about the redecorating the studios.
Yep.
Transformers here.
Minion mayhem.
No, gosh, Minion mayhem over there.
Yeah, the minions apparently are taking over the world. That's what I've been told anyway. And it's from the Despicable Me movies, and we have the Despicable Me attraction here at the theme park. Kids seem to love it. It's widely popular, so yeah, that's what they went with.
So, okay, Chris Tobin, while he was covering for our lack of video, he was talking about ways that people connect back to their studios. Obviously, every broadcast you do from here is a remote.
Absolutely.
You don't do any broadcasts that aren't remotes.
Nope.
So what are the popular ways that people get home?
When I first started, we were on a three-line extender, and we'd go satellite to New York City.
Wait a minute, three POTS lines?
Yep. Yep.
That give you about 7 kilohertz of audio.
Sure.
To New York City, and then what?
Satellite up to the bird, and then the radio station would go up to the bird and pick it up and pull it back down. And then ISDN became very, very popular, and we still do a lot, probably 80% of our broadcasts on ISDN.
Yeah.
But more and more stations are moving, and they're no longer able to get ISDN,
right.
And IP is starting to pop up pretty heavy as well.
So I noticed you had a Comrex
access
here, and now somebody was on a POTS line with that earlier today.
Yep.
Okay. But that'll also do IP.
It will.
Okay. And then you have a Telus Zip 1
we
here.
Do.
Okay. And so folks can use that.
I'll be using it tomorrow.
It's interesting how this is playing out with regard to standards, because you can get a Comrex access and a Zip 1 to talk to each other, but it's not really easy.
Right.
And it's not necessarily using the codec that you would prefer. Mm-hmm. They'll negotiate it and work it out, or not.
Right.
And you have to pick a lowest common denominator codec. Do you see a technology that would assist that, or does every station just need to buy a Comrex and buy a Telos and buy a Tyline?
Well, I think every station is going to buy what they need to buy for them. And I am in a unique position where I'm going to have to get everything so I can accommodate everybody else.
Yeah, and you've got two studios, so you need two.
Yeah.
Two of everything.
So that's a situation I've run into. And we've even run into some issues where radio stations have some Comrex gear, just smaller bricks, and I have an access, and try to get the compatibility between those two takes some serious work. So it's just a matter, there's always a way.
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
always make it work.
Yeah. And sometimes always the way is G722 being the lowest common denominator.
Exactly.
That's coming down the pike, though, is there's going to be more of a blending or more of a merging of phone audio and IP codec audio. The folks at Comrex have done this. Telos is doing this. We've already got some of it done now on the market, where you can get a G722 call through a Telos on-air phone system.
Right.
Yeah, and same thing with the guys at Comrex can do this now, too. So that's we're going to end up at some point having 20 kilohertz codecs in phone systems. It's the Orlando studios on line 5, and you'll put them on the air, and they'll be high quality for the whole show. You're watching. You can check. I'm at Universal Orlando. We're also here with Chris Tobin, who is on the Jersey Shore, and we're going to take a break real quick here and hear from the folks at Lavo. And if you give me just a second to bring up my sheet, there we go. Lavo is one of our sponsors, and you may know that Lavo is for broadcasters, and one of those consoles is the Crystal Clear console from Lavo. It's a virtual radio mixing console. What does virtual mean? Well, like many consoles, it's got a rack mount device that your audio inputs and outputs connect to, and then the console itself, the part that you touch, is another computer with a touchscreen, and it's a multi-touch, gorgeous touchscreen, just gorgeous graphics. It's the Crystal Clear from Lavo. It's a multi-touch touchscreen, so you can move multiple faders at once. It's very context sensitive, so if you need some help with a button, you can push that button and get some help, or you can push the button and have it pop up just the things that the options that button will handle for you. So it's aware of what you're trying to do. It has programmable scene presets. You can recall every detail, mic processing and mic levels and where all the faders are laid out. It has a large time of day clock. It's synchronizable to NTP time, of course. You can have 24 sources available, and 8 of them can be simultaneously on the console, which for most folks, that's all you need. Is you know, 8 is going to be plenty for you for a lot of complex shows. Let's see. It's got advanced DSP for microphones and external sources. So if you need some mic processing to make that mic sound better, then you can certainly do that with the Lavo Crystal Clear. Let me encourage you to check it out. The website is lavo.com, but let me spell that for you. It's L-A-W-O. These guys...
Uh-oh, looks like we've lost Kirk. A little bit of bandwidth issues there at Orlando. It's a very busy theme park today. This is the time of year that's really crazy. So we're talking about Lavo consoles and Crystal Clear and the Virtual Touch. You know, that's something you think about. It's a flat screen, it's glass top, and you're able to manipulate it just like a console, but you can do multi-touch, so you can use all 5 fingers to do various things. That's Lavo, L-A-W-O.com. Crystal Clear, something you should consider and think about. Because why? The Crystal Clear surface, the work surface, can be one place. The engine that takes in all the IOs can be another place. So I'll give this example we did once before, early on in the advertising series, and that is, what if you're doing a remote broadcast, an outside broadcast, and it's a concert venue, but you don't want to send the entire studio crew out to do it? What you do is you send out the truck, you send out the frame that goes in the truck, and all the IOs go into that frame, and that frame connects back via IP to your Crystal Clear console back in the studio where it's quiet and you can control it, and your producers now can produce something that makes sense and not be confused or distracted by the events of around them. Think about that. That's one way of looking at it. Another way would be to do the same thing but on a larger scale. So you have several studios for different radio stations within your group, and you want to control various shows that you're doing, morning shows. You can do the same. So, you know, give it some thought. It's all about your imagination and where you can go with it. That's Lavo. That's L-A-W-O.com. Lavo.com. So let's go to Orlando to Bob Page and Kirk Harnack at Universal Studios. Gentlemen, welcome back to the program.
You must be the IT expert, Chris Tobin.
How is that? Because I'm not disconnected?
You're connected. You're connected.
It's just a mere cable modem in a shared home with many, many things going on around me.
We have an interesting IT situation here. There is IT all around us, and the IT department here hasn't quite gotten around to getting the high connectivity into this studio yet. Now, they have reliable connectivity for the IP codecs. Of course, they have ISDN for the POTS. Is it POTS or ISDN?
Both.
Oh, both. Okay. Obviously for the Zephyr Extremes and other ISDN codecs. But they don't actually have that many people that walk in here and want to use a high bandwidth connection on their laptop. They want to get their email.
Yeah, for most people at a theme park, they just want to post pictures to Instagram, look at their Facebook quickly, and
then
go ride all the rides and see the attractions and shows.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, exactly. So
get off your phone and enjoy yourself.
Thanks, Chris Tobin, for filling. Where'd you lose us? During the Lavo spot?
Yes. That took care. Okay. I added some more insight to the Lavo and the product line.
Good for you. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Bob, what are we going to talk about next? We have consoles, you got phone systems here. Do you have any routing system to route which studio goes to which ISDN codec, or is each room fully independent?
Each room currently right now is fully independent.
Okay.
So, I mean, we can, through the consoles, we can, you know, swap ISDN lines or access and put wherever we need to, whatever we want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, if I have ISDN 1 in this studio, but then, for instance, today would be a great example. We had a POTS line connected in this studio, and I had back-to-back shows in my other studio. So I pulled the ISDN 2 from this studio into that studio, but just did it right through the Element.
Huh. Wow. So, you know, it occurred to me, people do morning shows from here. Morning drive.
Yep.
Early morning.
Lots of them.
Morning shows.
I'll be here tomorrow morning.
At what time?
I get in at 4 a.m.
Holy cow.
That's morning radio.
Did you hear that, engineers?
That's what you do.
Wow.
Got it. Well, somebody's got to get them connected.
That's true. Yeah.
Show them where the on button is.
Yeah. Unlock the building.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
wow. Oh, my. So, sometimes you show up at 4 o'clock in the morning with a station that's going to go on, what, at 5?
Yeah, 5 or 6 typically, yeah.
Yeah? And what if it's a station that's never been here before? What do you have to find out from them? Or have you already tested their connection by that
point? Yeah, well, in advance, I will have spoken to the engineer and gotten all their information and conducted a connectivity test to make sure that we're good and that their engineer actually has spoken to whoever's going to be the board op in the studio to make sure they know. Because more often than not, I'm on the phone talking to a board op at 6 in the morning and trying to figure out what console they have and where the remote comes up and trying to figure it out. So I really try to get the engineers to work with me, but sometimes it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
They're busy, they're out at the tower.
Engineer is at the transmitter. Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's most of my job and just getting them connected, getting them up on the air. And once a station comes in, just making sure they're absolutely comfortable here. Because if the jock behind the mic is completely comfortable and feels at home per se, the product on the air is going to be the best. And it's also going to be the best promotion for Universal Orlando. And that's our goal.
Yeah, I'm sure some people jump in and they're okay in a new situation.
Sure.
Others aren't probably not so okay in a new situation. What is the biggest thing, or what's the most common place where people need some hand-holding or some assurance, or let me show you where your mic is? What's the most common thing you do to help
most people? Jocks that come in, typical A personality, I got this, I know how I can do this, don't worry about it, and that's fine. And I'm there to help them along the way, answer questions, whatever they need. And some shows are different. Some shows are, they come in and, you know, they're doing their 3-4 breaks an hour. They're reading a couple liners. They're plugging Universal. Other shows are like, oh my God, you've got touchscreens. You have all these toys. I need to incorporate all this into my show. And it becomes a full blown thing. Some people you need to hold their hand more. Some people you don't.
Gotcha. Wow. Do you have a lot of return stations? They've been here before?
Yeah, typically, I mean, we do so many remotes a year that we do end up doing a lot of repeat stations. And that's the amazing thing is because they walk in the door and they go, well, what do you have new? Mm-hmm. What's new here? So we get to show them whatever, you know, we ended up coming up with to wow them some more.
Now, you know, from a technical point of view, you look pretty set here, but do you have any expansion or plans for different gear or you know, more things to help people do a morning show or whenever?
With the way social media is going and all that, I think the next phase, the next jump is we're going to need to start doing some form of videos that they can put on the web.
Ah, okay. Yep. Okay.
That's the next step. And we're, you know, seeing, so.
Well, you know, stations, of course, now they might have lipstick cameras around the studio.
Yep.
And there are now systems that switch cameras automatically.
Yep.
Depending on who's, you know, talking in the mic. One of my stations, one of them in American Samoa, we started doing this 5 years ago. We just hired an extra morning guy to come in and switch a little four camera switcher,
mm-hmm.
and it goes on the local cable company. It's not streamed because it's Samoa. There's very little streaming available there. But if you did that, if you had a camera system here, I guess you'd have to get the video streamed probably back to the station to do whatever they do with it,
right?
To, you know, for it to go out on the web.
Yeah, or at the very least, it could be recorded and they can put it up on YouTube and go from there.
Oh, there's that. Yeah. Hey, Chris Tobin, you've done some work in this video streaming for radio stations, right? Hello, Chris.
Sorry, I was keeping the mic off so that you didn't have to hear all the windows.
Oh, no worries. Hey, Chris, you've done work with
done video streaming.
Video streaming. So
yeah, we've done streaming
if a station normally streamed out of their studio, would it be that if they came down here and had a video stream available, would they send it from here to the web, or would they send it, need to probably send it back to the studio first to get inserted however they normally do it there?
Well, depending on the CDN, the content delivery network of their choice, they should be able to do it straight from Bob's studio to the CDN, because that would be the same thing they would be doing from their studios. The trick then would be producing it on site. So, you know, how they produce it in the studios currently would dictate how they do it on location. So if Bob's if Bob's studios offer a complete solution, you know, mixing, editing, switching the whole bit, and all they get is a spigot, an IP video output that's completely produced, off to the CDN it goes.
Gotcha. Wow. Chris, doesn't this kind of sound like a dream job to you?
Absolutely. A lot of responsibility. At 4 o'clock in the morning, a tech call makes sense. I've done those broadcasts before. I know what it's like. And you know, I have never been at the transmitter site at 4 a.m. for a remote.
No, those are usually the 2 p.m. Friday calls when I'm calling to check about a remote that's tomorrow morning, Saturday morning.
Wow. So you've got a gentleman that works with you. I'm sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's very convenient. 2 o'clock at the transmitter for a Saturday call.
On a Friday. On a Friday.
Yeah. I'll be the rest of the afternoon at the transmitter site. No, there's no phone out there. Cell coverage is pretty bad.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
You may not get me. Oh, gee. I never pulled that, did you?
No.
Okay. Good. All right.
I'm a gentleman.
I'm sure Chris Tobin never pulled that.
Hey, no, it's not true. Not true at all.
You've got a gentleman who works with you.
We do.
Jason.
Jason Mercurio.
Yeah. What does Jason do?
He's our marketing coordinator for the Radio Broadcast Center. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who would coordinate all of the travel for the radio stations and set them up, make sure they have their ticket packages. And he also sets them up with all their copy points and content for the show that they may need. One thing that we do at Universal is we're not going to push anything down anybody's throat. We want radio stations to come in and do their show and work Universal into their show naturally. We don't want it to sound like a commercial.
Sure.
And most of the time we pull that off very well. And that's kind of Jason's job, to make sure that the station has all the tools to do that.
Right, right. Gotcha. I mean, if I was in his, every 3x5 card I give him would just say Universal all over it. See?
UniversalOrlando.com. Yeah. UniversalOrlando.com.
Sorry about my coffin. Chris, you want to? You got any questions for Bob? You've seen this facility. You kind of know what this is like.
Well, I'm curious, with the folks coming on site nowadays with multimedia, do you get many requests for the multimedia aspect of their shows, like, say, a morning show? Or is that something that's still foreign to them, or they just don't bother?
And most of them at this point don't even bother. The stations that do it back home usually come down, and it's just not something that's done. And I think it's from their end, they're thinking, wow, it's going to be kind of a mess to put together on a remote location. So that's why I think our next step is to be able to provide them the ability to do it hassle-free.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. One other question I have, and I've done this at other theme parks. Do you do any type of remote live insertion for them throughout the park? So say you have a morning show or an afternoon show, whatever, radio show at your studio, and they want to send somebody out on a wireless microphone out to a ride somewhere.
Both studios have wireless mics and wireless IFB. We also have the Comrex Access Brick. We also have the Lucy Live app on my personal phone that we can run people out and do stuff. And we also have the ability through the park where I can pull my ISDN lines and have them pop up just about anywhere within the park. So while I prefer to do our remotes in studio, because this is Florida and it's ridiculously hot outside, every once in a while we've done remotes from over at the Hard Rock Hotel out at a cabana by the pool. We've done remotes over at Islands of Adventure by the Spider-Man attraction. I mean, when we get some specific requests to do that, we do that. But you're never going to see a radio row here outside with a bunch of pop-up tents and rented gear. Mm. It's just not something we care to do. We want it to be first-class, state-of-the-art all the way.
Oh, you know, I wouldn't expect it to be a radio row. I'm just thinking in terms of having a progressive radio show, morning show, or afternoon drive show, and, you know, audience participation or interaction is key, and I'm at a theme park. If I was program director, I definitely would want my guys to be out and about and try and interact and, you know, get the excitement that you'd want from the being on location. So, yeah, no, I'm not talking radio row. I don't. Yeah, yeah. I appreciate, honestly, you not wanting that.
some of the biggest complaints we get from program directors is your studio sounds better than our studio, and we don't believe you're on a remote.
Yes, I've had
that. And I take that 100% as a compliment.
Yes, I've done many a remote broadcast where the program director calls me on the phone and says, "You guys are not on location. Where are you? You're not outside." Just so happens
that you got a roller coaster ride behind in the background.
Yeah, and then we have the ability, if we have enough advance notice where they have set up like coaster mounts and we can record jocks and stuff on some of the attractions. Not all, because safety is always number one concern, and they want to make sure everybody's going to be okay. They're not going to just let you grab a wireless mic, hold in your hand, and try to go through a roller coaster that's pulling G's and flipping you upside down 4 or 5 times. But
Although I have, done held the camera really tight,
Not to say if you don't go on YouTube, you're not going to see some GoPro videos.
Yes,
from almost every attraction in the park.
So, you probably answered the question already about what would you look for next. You said probably video. Cameras, social media.
I think that's probably our next step. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I can help you out with that.
Yeah, we'll have to have some discussions.
They got planes from Nashville to Orlando. Yeah. I'm glad to help you out with that. We'll do the torch show again from here. Do other theme parks do this kind of stuff?
They certainly do.
Okay.
It's my understanding that they do. I mean, obviously, we work with a lot of the same radio stations, mm-hmm. especially local with the Orlando market. They mm-hmm. all go to all the radio stations. It's hard to get mad at them for doing it. It's just part of the deal.
Yeah.
I think we do it completely different than any of the other stations or the other theme parks.
Yeah.
Most of those stations, you will be outside. It will be under a tent. It will be rented gear. And that's just what they do. And, I mean, they're happy doing it. Good for them.
I think some of the Las Vegas casinos have also done this a little bit, but just small, maybe rented gear in an extra room.
Yep. And I'm friends with a guy in Iowa. There's a Indian casino up there, and they just built a tiny little studio inside the casino. So, yeah, it's starting to happen more and more.
Actually, years ago, I built a tiny radio studio in those casinos that are south of Memphis. Can't remember the name of them right now. Right near Robinsonville, Mississippi.
Okay.
Yeah, middle of nowhere, and but the studio was tiny.
Yeah,
yeah.
Most jocks will come in here and they're just like the station that was just in this studio. He's like, my studio is a third of the size of this studio. Man. It's in the middle of a building and I face a wall. If I want to know it's raining outside, I have to look on my computer.
Jeez.
So, yeah, but they're on the air. Mm-hmm. They're doing well. That's the tough part about radio. If you're on the air, it's working, right?
Well, now, obviously, these studios are beautiful. We've kind of gone over that. And this one, both of them are getting a remodel here. But from the point of view of usability, we talked about a little bit of difficulty people might have. What do they compliment you on as far as the usability? Does it just seem natural to sit down and just start working it? Or... what do you get the biggest compliments about?
I think most people compliment us most that it is all brand new equipment, within the last year or so, because that's what we try to keep everything up to date. And it's nice to have Neumann microphones and brand new Sennheiser headphones. And, most radio stations don't get to have an unlimited budget for their gear. So,
yeah, yeah. And your green room is nice, too.
Yeah, sure. And most people like free M&Ms and Snickers.
Hey, you're watching This Week in Radio Tech. We're talking with Bob Page. Bob is the director of studio operations here at Universal Orlando. We're talking about his two studios here. They've got a lot of AOIP equipment, some Axia gear, the usual complement of 360 system stuff, a phone system, lots of these. He mentioned these beautiful Neumann mic. What model are these Neumanns?
That's a BCM-104.
Okay. I've never used one till now.
It's pretty.
Sound great. They sound great. Our show is brought to you in part also by the folks at Axia and the Axia Element console. And, lo and behold, we have one right here. I was going to pick this up because I'm sitting on the desk. Yeah, there we go. Look at that. Now, there's an Axia Element console. Bob, you have two studios. Same size, different sizes.
This one's just a little.
Okay. These are equipped with, how many faders we got here? 2, 4, 6, 8, I lost count. about 12 faders.
Yep.
Okay. And sorry, scoff drops. And then you have a phone system here, so you can bring the phone system up and answer phone calls here, same as in the other studio. What can you say? Do you ever have to reprogram these or reconfigure them, or are they pretty good the way they are?
Honestly, we've had the Element console for about 2 years, mm-hmm. and have had almost no problems with them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the problems that we've had were probably our own problems. When we were building Diagon Alley...
I've done that before.
The power company was out, and they cut power to the entire park in the middle of the day.
Oh.
And our whole studio just went, boom. And apparently equipment doesn't like that.
Huh.
It likes to be shut down properly.
Yeah.
So we had some problems. We got, but I mean, folks actually...
Every time that kind of thing happens, I will go into a tiny amount of detail here. You know, so many pieces of equipment nowadays they have a processor in them of some kind. Or in the case of an Axia piece of gear, I think there's a quad core processor in there running different apps on different cores and different threads and all that. Well, of course, if you have a spinning hard drive and power goes out, well, you could have a problem. You could have been in the middle of a write or something, you know, and could have messed something up. I know that every piece of gear from the TELUS Alliance that's running an operating system, typically it's running on a memory card of some kind, typically a CF card, sometimes an SSD or an SD card. But we use a file system that is nearly impervious to this kind of, you know, power bumps. It can put up with a whole lot of, I mean, it's using a lot of military apps.
Uh-oh. Sounds like we've lost some bits in our bucket for the bit bucket that is using IP to get our connections for Skype. So that's Kirk Harnack and Bob Page at Universal Studios Orlando on This Week in Radio Tech, episode 225. They were talking about the Axia console known as the Element, and that was part of our sponsorship, two sponsorships that we have for the show. So the Axia console allows you to do a lot of things. And one of the nice things about it, they were talking about power outages and power disruption, what happens with newer technologies, and, you know, do you have recovery and how well does it recover? And one of the nice things about the Axia console, the Element console, and I've installed them and used them so I can speak from experience, they use a real-time application, a real-time operating system for the Linux kernel that's in it. So the use of a memory card, whether it be a CF card or a SSD or SD media, works really well. And I can tell you that I have changed many a card and installed upgrades and changes and have done the power test, and it does recover very well. Nothing is 100%, so let's all be honest. We all know that. So I will say with 99.99%, reliability, understanding that the Axia system does the job. And one of the other nice things about the Orlando studios that Bob was talking about is that, and Kirk was asking, is the fact that the studios themselves are very easy to use. And one of the things I have to say I've learned over the years working with programmers, program directors a lot, is that is the editorial part of the broadcast. You know, what you're watching and listening to right now is the technical part, but the editorial, the content itself. And the key is, if you're a morning show jock, afternoon, middays, or, you know, whatever, maybe even a talk show host, one of the things that's most distracting is when the technology gets in the way. And when the technology gets in the way, the show just suffers. So Bob's point, to Bob's point, the studio being built with ease and flexibility is key. So those are things you should take away from that conversation. Let's go back to the Bitbucket in Orlando and find out how we're doing with Kirk and Bob.
You know, I've noticed is every time we've done a commercial, Skype has said, nope, no commercial. Sorry, Skype, we do have to pay for the show. So let's wrap it up just by saying Axia, been out there for over 11 years now. Yours truly installed the first installation of an Axia console in at Auburn University, Auburn, nice. Alabama. Yeah. And, hey, Tom Ray, who is sometimes on our show, he had a very early installation at WOR. And we tried to get all the bugs worked out before we put them in here. And I've got them at my radio station, too. In American Samoa, of all places, I've got 3 Axia consoles. Just installed another one in Greenville, Mississippi. And, boy, watch Facebook. I mean, there's Axia consoles every day. People posting pictures on Facebook all over the world, too. Just had one in, I don't know if it's in Russia or Uzbekistan or somewhere like that, but there's always one on there. Hey, so thanks to Axia. It's on the web at axiaaudio.com for being one of the sponsors of This Week in Radio Tech. Chris, do you have any last-minute wrap-up questions for Bob here?
No, I think he's done a fine job of making it easy. I was mentioning during the Bitbucket break that you know, the nice thing about his studios is they're easy to use, and working with a lot of talent, the hardest part is getting past the technology obstacles. So the fact that you make it easy and comfortable is key. And I'm glad to hear you guys put some thought into that, just not buying the latest, you know, whiz-bang technology, throw it in there and go, here you go, use it, get out of my way. So, no, it's great. You guys did a great job.
Yeah,
Thank you. You
look through here, and it's of course, I mean, I recognize a lot of Telos and Axia gear, but it's all standard tested stuff.
Absolutely.
People are going to be comfortable with it.
And that's the goal, because like I said earlier, if they come in and are comfortable, they're going to do a great show. Universal Orlando will get a great promotion. And again, that's always the goal for me.
You know, I think a great thing for a broadcast engineer to do on vacation, come to Orlando, take a few days vacation here at Universal, give Bob Page a call and say, can I come in and have a look around? Take some pictures, bring some ideas back to your station, wherever you are, Mr. Engineer, and see what you can put to use.
And honestly, we have a door that's right attached to the theme park, and I've had radio station engineers from all over the United States, Canada, Mexico, Spain, Italy, Ireland, just kind of looking in the window like, well, you have a full radio studio. Can I come in and take a look? Sure, come on in, take some pictures. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's more than welcome.
Good deal. Good deal.
And we probably have the cleanest bathroom in the park.
Oh, yes, you do. It's the only bathroom my wife will use. Bob, thanks for being with us. I sure appreciate it.
Thanks for stopping by.
Chris Tobin, thank you for checking in from the Jersey Shore. Are you on vacation?
Yes. Yes. I'm on holiday this week, trying to take it easy. It's
well,
been tough.
Give my love to your family and have a great rest of it. And thanks for taking some time out for the show today.
Oh, no problem. Anytime, man. This is good. It's nice to be able to show it off.
Yeah, yeah. And thanks for filling in during our Bitbucket breaks, too.
That was good. You couldn't have timed that better.
Also, thanks to Andrew Zarian, our show producer, putting up with, you know, whatever I throw at him. Andrew just, yeah, no problem. I'll handle it, Kirk. Don't worry. We got it.
So, that's a good producer.
Andrew, thank you for working with us. I sure appreciate it. By the way, Andrew, I'm on remote again next week. I'll be in Greenville, Mississippi. So we'll do another, you know, on the road remote from somewhere. Our show's been brought to you by the folks at Telos, the Telos Zip One, also the folks at Lavo and the Lavo Crystal Clear audio console, and the folks at Axia and the Axia Element audio console. Check them all out. Be sure you check out the show gets reposted on the GFQ website just as soon as we get it done for reposting. It's at gfqnetwork.com. You also want to check out the other shows on GFQ that are worth watching. Lots of tech shows about wrestling, and the Friday free for all is pretty fun too. So check that out with Andrew and the GFQ Network. Let's see, Chris Tobin, where can people reach you if they need IP audio solutions?
Well, I do IP audio and video solutions and solutions of many kinds for broadcasters. Just support at ipcodex.com. I've already got a couple of emails this week, so those questions have been answered.
All right. Email support at IP audio or IP
codex. ipcodex.com.
Codex. ipcodex.com. Yes. You know, it took me 3 years to get Mukwonago, Wisconsin correct. So I'll get ipcodex.com correct eventually, too. Thanks a lot, Chris Tobin. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Bob, for being a guest.
Bob Page, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week. We'll be on the road, and we'll have a guest next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Bye-bye, everybody.